Psalm 15, entitled by the editors of this, The Character of Those Who May Dwell with Jehovah. And it is a Psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear Jehovah. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Okay, Psalm 15 sounds like a recipe for how we can get God to love us and how to be good enough for him, right? It's not. It's very much not, and there's a couple clues to this, first of all. You all know none of us do this. Now, context matters, and you've heard me inveigh against the idea of chapter and verse divisions more than once, and you've heard me say the only valid book with chapter divisions is the Book of Psalms, where the chapters are valid divisions because they're different psalms. But the context of which psalm is put next to the other still matters, because you'll see them grouped in meaningful thematic chunks of text, or, going along with different songs that are related to each other in different ways. To see this psalm standing alone misses very much of the point. You all remember last week, in Psalm 14, we talked about how there aren't any who do good. There are none who seek for God. There are none who do the right things at all or even want to, left to themselves. It's no accident that that came just before this one. Think of it in context. We know that we're all wicked. So who is it who can dwell with God? Well, the answer is found in the first verse, actually the first line of this psalm. And it's something that people don't think about, I think, enough. Who may abide in your tabernacle? Now, who lived in the tabernacle? Who had beds in the tabernacle that they slept in overnight? Nobody. They didn't even have chairs. The only one who lived in the tabernacle was the glory cloud, was the Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us, is the only one who stayed there. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah that the people of Jerusalem, or the people of Israel, were looking for. He is the one who may dwell in God's holy hill. He was the one who lived in the Holy of Holies, where the high priest could only approach once a year, and that only with special sacrifices, and then even with fear and trembling. The one who lived there was the mighty one of Israel, not any of the people. Although many throughout history thought they could earn that right by trying to obey the law, when the meaning, the purpose of the law is to show us how to live for God, but mostly it's to show us that we are sinners, that we need Jesus to come. We need the mercy seat, that we need the sacrifice of the one who sits upon the mercy seat. Because when we look at the great high priest, if you'll remember back when we were looking at that last time I did Hebrews 9, we looked at one who was without sin, one who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Because only Jesus was the holy sacrifice, and the high priest could come before God without fear or without the special sacrifices, the special washings, the dedication, the anointings, the special clothes. Because he came in his own holiness and not a borrowed holiness that the priests had when they followed the law and came in Jesus' name. He who does not backbite with his tongue. Kids, backbiting is when you say, "Oh, Ruth, we love you, you're so great," and Ruth goes away and you say, "Did you see what she was wearing? Oh, she's so horrible." That's backbiting, when you talk behind their back in biting, cutting ways. And this is one who doesn't do that, one who's honest and does no evil to his neighbor. And again, we know that Jesus fulfilled that. Can you look in your heart and say that you've done that? No, you can't. So they're not in your head. You can't say that you've never done that, because I know you have. Pretty much everybody but the youngest I've seen do some sort of wicked thing. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. In our society today, isn't it true that so often it's the vile one that's revered and honored, and the calm, quiet, godly one is despised? Maybe not mocked to their face, but they're counted as little account. And that's something that we have to be careful not to do, and it's something Jesus has never done. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, Remember, Jesus swore that he would do this, and he didn't change, even though. So he went to the cross, despising his shame. He who does not put out his money at usury. That means taking advantage of people in desperate need. If somebody needs to borrow money to feed their family, you don't charge them interest. You do it out of the goodness of your heart. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, taking money to do evil things. He who does these things shall never be moved. So we know that Jesus has done these things, and he will never be moved. And as we've seen from looking at Hebrews the last couple times I was up here, the tabernacle in Jerusalem is no longer where he dwells, because it has been destroyed. He's moved on to the perfect, better tabernacle in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. He shall never be moved, and those he brings there with him through his blood shall also never be moved. And I will sing this in Psalm 15.